childhood, and I spent a lot of time in the Hartmann Health Hub, and they had a massive impact on my life, and they really made my life very colourful as a child. And we used to travel up and meet various artists and poets and stay in various destinations, and it was just a fabulous influence to have. I was a little country girl, and you know, they really took me in as part of the family. And Lara still says, your family, Michelle, you know. So next year we're meeting up with Rosemary, and we're going to spend some time in Spain. She's actually moved out there now. And Lara's in Australia, and Neil's over in America. So they're all various places, but they're still very close. It doesn't matter where they are within the world. So, and yeah, I suppose I'm a little dot in kind of an extended family in a way, even though we're not blood relation, you know, we're all very close. But I don't normally do this, so as I say, bear with me, but Lara means a lot to me, and family did, and Michael, you know, he's a character, and I very much was there with the family, so I'd like to read this because they mean a lot to me, you know, they really have impacted on my life. So, the poem for Lara. As ash tree on fire, the hair of your head, coaxing larks with your sweet voice in the green grass. A crowd of daisies playing with you, a crowd of rabbits dancing with you. The blackbird with its gold bill is a jewel for you. The goldfinch with its sweetness is your music. You are perfume, you are honey, a wild strawberry. Even the bees think you a flower in the field. Little queen of the land of books, may you always be thus. May you ever be free from sorrow chains. Here's my blessing for you, girl, and it is no petty grace. May you have the beauty of your mother's soul and the beauty of her face. It's just very apt for me reading this because even as he writes about the countryside there, I can visualise where that is, because where they've lived. So thank you very much.
So next I call on Hugh McFadden, and what are you going to read for us, Hugh?
Sibelius in Silence.
Sibelius in Silence. Oh.
It's one of the a number of poems, about four long poems that Michael wrote quite late on in his career, before he turned to the translations, you know, before he decided to finish the job that he had in mind to translate Ruler and so on. He had, I think, fabulous golden art. And this poem, to my mind, is one of the finest poems written in Michael Hartnett's time by anybody in Ireland. Sibelius in Silence. For Angela, this. To have intricacies of lakes and forests, harbours, hills and inlets given, and none of these with a name. Then to have posited nomads straggling from the barricading murals, bearing on their backs and horses children, language and utensils, gods and legends. Then to have brought all these together, yeast to the thawing mud. This was to make in the green gold of the north an ethnic and enduring bread. They settled where their dead were buried and gave names to every hill and harbour, names that might become unspoken but would forever whisper, not yours, to mapping strangers. Their dead became the land they lived at, became the very lakes and curries, the very myths and shadows that live inside the birch and pine tree. Their dead sprung up in grains and berries, nourishing their offspring that inhabited the cold expanses. They sold their gods in caves and hillsides, gods that might become forgotten, but would forever whisper, "Go home," to dreaming strangers. After the land is first immersed in language, gods, and legends, sown with blood and bodies, whatever strangers come and conquer and stand upon the hills at evening, or even planters tend to meditation, they will sense they are not wanted here. For the wind, the old, old voices, molding ice and snowdrifts into arctic intimations of the shapes, now quite unhuman, they possess in a dead and parallel present, will tell them, "You are not ours. You are not wanted." And the lake, the pine, the birch tree, the very slope and curve of mountain, all will say the same. The name you call us by is not our name. Whoever comes and conquers, from the first flake of fish eaten, from the first crumb of bread taken in this place, blood in water and in ground transubstantiates that race and performs an altering justice. Its homeland becomes myth. Its very customs, clothing, accent, if not language, change and now are woven from other soils and other souls in this intricate biosphere. It is not wanted here, nor loved at home. It watches rivers wash its labels from their banks contemptuously to see, watches names it puts on hills detach themselves and doggedly slide down a valley of unwanted mounds. It sits inside its palisade and sees its gods move out of reach and fade before the bright gods of the older race. Its children's mouths ringed purple with their speech. When I was young, I did not know their language. I visited the Inns of Babel, where old and young drank mugs of syntax that turned on tongues and hands to music, where men at beer-ring counters told me their melodious open secrets, and I held up identity papers and said, "I do belong. This is my country." And they let me join their ranks. For part of me, indeed, throughout the centuries, had become this race's. And although my origin still slunk some thousand years away in heavily guarded strongrooms in my head, their edges had the tint, had absorbed the purple hue that revealed I ate the berries that the conquered grew. All this, papers, costume, customs, fiber, transformed and muscles and my longing to belong, was negated by my voice, my traitor's larynx, that then could never frame their simplest proverbs or sing their simplest song. But courtesy is not acceptance. So I left the friendly inns and walked into the dark, landmarks all around me hinting at the road, and a cavalry of signposts on which strange names were shown that pointed out the way, but not the way home. Blacker than the blackest swans are, all my life, their mythic figures clothed in insistent rhythms have pursued me and made me anxious, called my name and demanded answers. And I listened, and I answered. Music was my language. So I gave them my music, and the land drank in my music. Caught at school in webs of grammar, which still at night enmeshed my face, I had no tongue in the land I came from, but at first, at best, a stammer. But the fluency I sought I found in the speech that underlies my music. The land took me in her embrace. I wed the land, and dreamed her freedom, somehow coalesced and marched estoso out through the hatchings of my music sheets. But the people heard the real program, the crescendi of shells in the air and their clanks in the streets. Alcohol's a cunning beast. It fools the doctor and the priest. It fools the clever and the sane, but not the liver or the brain. Idle verses, so I thought, that some duty idly makes. But now blood breaks like snowflakes from my brother's nostrils, and my hand shakes. I gave everything I could. Music, speeches, packed harangues, intellectualized the fight, and tremblando wept adagios, wrung my hands, in short, spilled every drink but blood. Autumn breaks its rainbows along the staggering trees, and my hand quivers. Into my room, across my music sheets, sail black swans on blacker rivers. They say my music weeps for the days when my people ate the bark from trees because all crops had failed. Music disdains such theories. I offer you here cold, pure water, as against the ten-course tone poems, the indigestible malarian feasts, as against the cocktail's many hues, all the cures crammed in one glass. Pure, cold water is what I offer. Composed, I am conducting. It is my fourth symphony, third movement, and as my baton tries to make the music keep the key of C sharp minor, vodka ebbs and trembles from my hand, and at the ragged corner of my eye, a raven flies through the concert hall, and I find a self saying to myself, it was the deer that stripped the trees, not the people at all. Two flutes grapple with an ice-cold note until the cello takes command. As the audience's hiss escapes, splinters of birch bark stick in my throat. And now, because I have made such strict demands upon my art, I must dismiss such music as intrudes on me as I conceal my shaking hands. No loss indeed. It's now quite trivial and crude. No more legends come out of the northern lands, no more versions of the air, no more black swans, no more seamless symphonies project themselves. I take down a book of poetry from my shelves to share with my children's children the old store of verses that this green gold land reveres. I speak their native language fluently, but when excited, lapse into my plantress tongue. You may think 30 years of silence far too long, but some composers now about should have learnt from me that silence would have graced the world far more than their gutting and dismembering of sound. And that which was part of me has not left me yet. However etherealized, I still know where it went there. I get up at odd hours of the night, or snap from a doze deep in a chair. I shuffle to the radio, switch on the set, and pluck, as I did before, Finlandia out of the air.
Thanks for that glass of sparkling, clear, northern Ballygowan. Next, we have Catherine Bill McCarthy, who's going to read an extract from Farewell to English, I think.
Short poem, because you've just heard a very long one.
There's also an extract from A Farewell to English, so I don't mind. So you tell me. Shorter enough.
Do the extract.
Michael Hartnett was very bothered about Pulu Ida, the retreat of Aja Cagney, was bilingual and written in the Old Irish and the Dalton Press edition. And he was very bothered about writing, having written in English. And he sort of made a promise that it was A Farewell to English, which became his next book. And this is the first part of it. It's dedicated to Brendan Kenany. Her eyes were coins of porter, and her West Limerick voice talked velvet in the house. Her hair was black as the glassy fireplace, wearing with grace her Sunday night dance vest. She cut the froth from glasses with a knife and hammered golden whiskies on the bar, and her mountainy body tripped the gentle mechanism of verse. The minute interlock of word and word began, the rhythm formed. I sunk my hands into tradition, sifting the centuries for words. This quiet excitement was not new. Emotion challenged me to make it sayable. The cliches came at first like matchsticks snapping from the world of work. Mónla, shave, duvaltach, all in, queen. They came like grey slabs of slate breaking from the ancient quarry. Mónla, shave, duvaltach, all in, queen. Slowly vaulting down the dark unused escarpments. Mónla, shave, duvaltach, all in, queen. Crashing on the cogs, splinters like axe heads damaging the wheels, clogging the intricate machine. Mónla, shave, duvaltach, all in, queen. Then Pegasus pulled up, the girth broke, and I was flung back on the gravel of Anglo-Saxon. What was I doing with these foreign words? I, the polisher of the complex claws, wizard of grasses and warlock of birds, midnight oiled in the metric laws.
Thank you. And next we'll have Mary O'Connell, please.
Two relatively short poems about other poets. This is The Poet as Black Sheep for Paul Durkin. I have seen him dine in middle-class surroundings, his manner refined, as his family around him talk about nothing. One of their favourite theses. I have seen him lying between the street and pavement, atoning, dying, for their sins, the fittest payment he can make for them, to get drunk and go to pieces. On his father's face, in sparse lines etched out by ice, the Puritan race has come to its zenith of grey spite, its climax of hate, its essence of frigidity. Let the bourgeoisie beware, who could not control his head and kept it in their care until the brain bled. This head is a poet's head. This head holds a galaxy. And the second.
Mary, you must be that one.
Yeah, it's just getting a bit a touch late there, so we just keep it to one poem, if that's okay. But thanks for that, thanks for that, Mary. Gregor O'Doul, please.
There was the culture, and there was the history, and there was all the poets, and he engaged with them. But like everybody else coming to the language as a second language, he engaged with the sounds. Shinyufada, Shebu, and he loved them. And my Irish is not his Irish, but maybe we can do some justice to it tonight. Shinshish. Dorhume Bilal Mavrat, Brahman Bradan Mavrai. Brahme is asking for one asa, Sayed Ishkis Lubrida. Brachme is Bradan, Dorhu, Askan. Mishin Speer and Teir is a Tarach, Mishin Tias is a Tishke, Mishin Shevri Machosse, Tiag is Dine, Realta Mishin Masna Nardran, Mishin Hardran, the Hilsha Gemta, Mishin Tain is a Tanyri, Kluva Gatshunna, Anyri Enul Enrach, Enti Mishin, all is a Barum of Flagin, Marhilach and Mles Dira, Anum is Injin, is Incha, Brick. Anum is injun, is injunach teig. Anum is injun, is injunach feig. Dinya, and is crinya.
Her mother. Every minute you please.
The Irish is great. All been great so far. This one is from Michael Hunter. It's from a selected, chosen by Derek Mann, and it's called "There Will Be a Talking." There will be a talking of lovely things. There will be cognizance of the seasons. There will be men who know the flights of birds. In new days, there will be love for women. We will walk the balance of artistry. And things will have a middle and an end, and be loved because being beautiful. Who in a walk will find a lasting vase depicting dance and hold it in his hands and sell it then? No man on the new earth will barter with malice, nor make of stone a hollow reel, for art will be art. The freak, the rare, no longer commonplace. There will be a going back to the laws.
And Michael, please. Michael Ray.
Somewhere in France, the elaborate structures we built up, the house, the children and the plastered walls, the crystal and the willow-patterned cup now fall, as my small shabby facade falls, dignity, honour, may seem out of date, and I helped wipe such precious concepts out, and so I must resign and abdicate, and lose the loves my life revolved about. This is not mere self-pity, nor are you verse stuff. This is the only way I can try in my futile English to undo the wrong done by a sad, pathetic man. But now there cannot be a second chance for honesty, for love, for tolerance, for I have killed your trust as only poets can, and an embryo blind and mine somewhere in France.
Thanks very much for that. And the next name on the list is Derek Darcy.
poem by Robert Service. He was in World War One. I love this poem. It's called The Wanderer. I wish that I could understand the marvel movement of my hand. I watch my fingers turn and twist the supple bending of my wrist. The dainty touch of fingers' tip, the steel intensity of grip. A tool of exquisite design, with pride I think it's minus mine. Then there's the wonder of my eyes, where hills and houses, seas and skies, waves of light converge and pass and print themselves on the glass. Line, form and colour live in me, I am the beauty that I see. Ah, I could write a book of sighs to tell the wonders of my eyes. Oh, but what of the wonders of my heart, that plays so faithfully its part? I hear it running sung and sweet, it never seems to miss a beat. Between the cradle and the grave, it never falters, stanch and brave. Alas, I wish I had the art to tell the wonders of my heart. Oh, but then how can I explain the wondrous wonders of my brain? That marvellous machine that brings all consciousness of wonderings. It's hopeless, all my words are vain to tell the wonders of my brain. But do not think, O patient friends, who hears these stanzas to the end, that I myself would glorify, you're just as wonderful as I. Come, let us on the seashore stand, and thrill with wonder at a grain of sand, or cast our visions high and far, and thrill with wonder at a single star. A host of stars, night's holy tent, huge and glittering in wonderment. If wonder is in great and small, then what of him who made it all? In eyes, brain, and heart, and limb, let's see the wondrous work of him. In everything from sun to sod, the wonder and the awe of God.
Mighty, and I know Parton would appreciate it. The passion of the recital, good man. Paul O'Colman, again, please.
Violet to Cowan, Elena Squalor, personality. This is a poem called Down the Rosemary, a poem for Rosemary, which Michael apologises to Rosemary for the life he's led her, really. But it's beautiful, it ends. Life's very bad in here. He says, according to Sheila Bavinta Earth Law, you have the silk of your heart one day. I'll put the silk of your heart on you one day, and we'll both find our American. But it's Down the Rosemary. As in sail, Muffa Shaw, Garmin at Leshfield. As an aspect arrogant the tar, our sheer helic, our fork, our bosta, our young, and through it, and hum, it bargained at the hock's creed look, cavalry. Gown at Leshgail, as in Tiach Cluck Clenta, as folly the craze, the yorn at Dieta, the yorn bugger, and cloak lat in Cubbernock, the ancient brag, the tilek titan as a hale. Tame hoot, Emma Leshgail fame, manum. Magni Gain, and Ishinardum, the Don in Lech, in the Yochak Saturna, a gold is in Greg. Craig may unbearer, a gladsen may have me cool. Catty may macher de Yara, as Queen Ur, a Tamakaran Berla, crown mock the Shask. A Tasulgum, a will law the Hunnish Tiat. Craig may she the Vita Earth Law, I'm showing it, Earth America.
So, Nilok Carver Falkland winning it, there's only four people left, so there, I suppose we might just keep it, you know, touch on the short side if possible. We get there. So, next up we have John Darcy.
Robert Service.
When you're lost in the wild and you're scared as a child, and death looks you bang in the eye, for sores abide, it's a calling to hide, to cocker a wyvern day. But the code of a man says, fight all you can, till self-disillusion is there. In hunger and woe, it's easy to blow, the hell surfer breakfast is there. It's easy to cry that you're beaten and die. You're sick of the game, I know there's a shame. You're young and you're brave and you're bright. You had a raw deal, I know, don't squeal. Buck up to your damnness and fight. Because it's the plugging away that will win you the day. So don't be a piker or a pard. Just draw on your grit. It's dead easy to quit. It's the keeping your chin up that's hard. It's easy to cry that you're beaten and die. It's easy to crawfish and crawl. But to fight and to fight when hope's out of sight, boy, that's the best game of them all. And though you come out of each grueling bout all beaten and broken and scarred, just have one more try. It's dead easy to die. It's the keeping on living that's hard.
Moving quickly along, Carmen Cummins, please.
This is just an extract from the retreat of the Cagney, and just that it has everything my character did, both the beauty and the bitterness, I think. And you know, I suppose people know the story of a woman who's giving birth and she's totally disapproved of by a whole community, a whole society. Oh, my small and warm creature, with your gold hair and your skin that smells of milk and apples, I must always lock you in where nothing much can happen. But you will hate these few rooms, for a dove is bound to come with leaves and outdoor perfumes. Already the talons drum a beckoning through the slates, bringing from the people's words and messages of hate. Soon the wing beats of this bird will whisper down in their dive. I dread the coming of this dove, for its beak will be a knife. And if you leave armed with my love, they will tell you what you lack. They will make you wear my life like a hump upon your back.
Mm-hmm. Pauline Fane, please.
Michael selected poems in 1970. I was volcanic and the mystic eye. I was alchemist making all base gold. I was fantastic, warlock of the world. When came my poems, they spat like pollen or many loosed birds. I ring in water that made many rings. I, taxidermist, hung my images in dull rooms lit in my own light. I could name grasses and five kinds of rose. What shareable was, I knew. A dread of tern, cranesbill, chamomile. And now the owls come back, the horsehair owls, the fox, the dove, the black sparrowhawk. They thud in balls of fur, come back, fly down, recur. The old names taunt me in a long, dry haunt. Wow.
Agus nishkun dara cuirlis ní a gleig me ar Eileen Sheehan.
I thought a great word earlier, I was reading this and he said, oh, you're nuts. But
that's not true.
But I am. I first read this. I love when sometimes you open magazines and journals and something just grabs you, and this made me laugh all day. And this was back in, I think it was 99 or 2000, and I opened Poetry Ireland Review and discovered that Hartnett could tear the heart out of you, but he could also make you bloody laugh. And this is a poem in the good old tradition of Irish curse poetry. On those who stole our cat, a curse. On those who stole our cat, a curse. May they always have an empty purse and need a doctor and a nurse prematurely. May their next car be a big black hearse. Oh, may it surely. May all their kids come down with mange, their eldest daughter start acting strange, and the wife start riding the range. And I don't mean the aga. And when she begins to go through the change, may she go gaga. And may the husband lose his job and have great trouble with his knob, and the son turn out a yob and smash the place up, and he give his dad a belt in the gob and mess his face up. And may the granny end up in jail for opening her neighbour's mail. May all of that clan moan, weep and wail, turn grey and wizened on the day she doesn't get bail but Mountjoy prison. Oh, may their daughter get up the pole and their drunken uncle lose his dole, for our poor cat one day they stole. May they rue it. And if there is a big black hellhole, may they go through it. Unfriendly loan sharks to their door, as they beg for 1 week more. May the seven curses of Inchicore rot and blight 'em. May all their enemies settle the score and kick the shite of 'em. I wish rabies on all their pets. I wish them a batch of bastard gets. I wish them a load of unpayable debts, TV inspectors, to show them a poet never forgets his malefactors. May rats and mice them ever hound, may half of them be of mind unsound, may their house burn down to the ground, and no insurance. May drugs and thugs their life surround beyond endurance. May God forgive the heartless thief who caused our household so much grief. If you think I'm harsh, sigh with relief. I haven't even started. I can do worse. I am, in brief, yours truly, Michael Hartnett.
One of fresh, when it was a very short poem by Paul Casey. Yeah.
This is just a poem that struck a note with me. Many of you will know this. It's called The Person as Dreamer. We talk about the future for a friend of his called Jess Healy. It has to be high on a hill, high, of course, and twilight. There have to be some birds, all sadly audible, a necessary haze, and small wristlets of rain, yes, and a tremendous air of satisfaction. Both of us will be old, and both our wives, of course, have died young and tragic, and all our children have gone their far ways, estranged or else not begotten. We have been through a war, been hungry, and heroes, and here we are now, calm, fed, and reminiscent. The hills are old, silent. Our pipe smoke rises up. We have come a long way.